How you doing?
Oh, it's a good day.
Are you a Friends fan?
A what?
Friends.
Like the show?
Yes.
No.
Oh, that's why you didn't get the how you doing.
Is that a Friends thing?
Yeah, Joey Tribbiani. Come on.
Watched a couple episodes. Stopped forever.
Wow. Do you like Parks and Rec?
No, but I've always wanted to start it.
You got to get past the first season. First season's terrible.
Is it?
That's and then it gets a lot better. Welcome to another episode of the Real Tea Chicago podcast. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Terrence.
And we are here to share with you the most interesting stories we can find in Chicago real estate. And if you like what you hear, please don't forget to like and subscribe. Tell all your friends and family and even submit a story if you want.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
We want to hear all of the things. You can do it anonymously.
Yep.
Meaning we won't tell who you are.
I actually have a Google form that they can fill out and just stay anonymous. We don't even have to know who they are.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we really will be anonymous.
Yep.
That'll be exciting.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about this.
I know. Please fill out some stories. Like, we gotta find.
Oh, we will.
All right. So I thought today we could talk about the fact that Chicago has the world's only backwards flowing river.
When you say backwards, like against gravity?
Wait, you really didn't know this?
No.
I thought this was common knowledge in Chicago.
No, I didn't know this.
They reversed the flow of the river.
I know they can reverse the
flow. No, they did.
Oh.
In 1900.
Oh. And then they never turned it back?
No.
Oh, I just thought that there was a thing they can do. They could flip it when they need the green dye to go one way and then turn it back the other way when it's not St. Patrick's Day.
The river was so polluted from waste and nasty things. Then it was flowing directly into Lake Michigan, which was obviously polluting our drinking water. So they spent 8 years, and on January 1st, they reversed the flow of the river so that all the polluted water would actually flow to the Mississippi.
Nice. I had no idea. I didn't know this was a fact.
Yes.
So note to self, do not go swimming in the Mississippi. It is full of...
Don't go swimming in the Chicago River.
I wouldn't do that either. I don't know.
No, 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 no.
I would not even touch that water.
No, you shouldn't. Anyone who's kayaking in the river, like, it's gross. You're fucking crazy.
Yeah, it's gross. I've never been on the Chicago River and I never will.
No.
No.
Absolutely not. If you get, I think it's if you are submerged more than half of your body in the river, you are supposed to go to the hospital to be checked for waterborne illnesses.
That's disgusting.
Like, don't fuck around in the river.
That's nasty.
The lake's one thing. The lake is much, much cleaner.
Well, yeah, the lake's fine, but that's nasty.
Nasty.
I just never wanted to go in it because I just figured it was full of poop and probably dead bodies, and it's gross. Do we know how deep the Chicago River is?
I have no idea.
Let's ask the Google.
Well, the project was named one of the 7 wonders of engineering by the American Society of Civil Engineers in 1995.
Depth of Chicago River. At its deepest point, the Chicago River is 21 feet deep.
Oh, that's not that deep. No. I mean, I think it's deep for a river.
No, that is shallow for a river. The Mississippi River averages 30 feet. Below Cairo, where the Ohio River joins, the depth averages 50 to 100 feet deep. The deepest part of the river is in New Orleans, where it reaches 200 feet deep.
Oh.
So I think 21 feet is a little shallow.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I was basing my knowledge off of the Rio Grande in New Mexico, which is extremely shallow. Anyways.
Okay, fun fact of the day.
Yeah. All right, do you have your two truths and a lie ready for us? Oh.
Well then.
I have mine.
Okay, well, we're going to let you go first.
Okay.
And I will come up with mine as we go. Okay. And if anything, we can do it.
You can just riff. It's fine. You don't need to do a whole...
We can do it later and I'll think about it as we go along.
Okay, great. So mine are... I've walked in on a live stream of the building's lobby in someone's unit. I've taken a potential client to their dentist appointment. Or I've had to break into a listing through an open window.
I am going to say that one is true. The window.
Yep.
I can see you shimmying through a window. And I kind of just want the first one to be true because I want to hear all about how the police came and apprehended this man afterwards. or woman. So I'm going to go ahead and say the lie is the dentist.
Okay.
Are you going to tell?
I mean, of course I'm going to tell.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if you were going to wait and tell us on the next episode or tell us today.
Oh, no. It must have been too long ago that we recorded our last episode because I revealed these in the last episode.
Oh, geez, did you?
And you had the same guesses.
Okay, good. You know what? I'm nothing but consistent.
Okay, so story number one. I did a listing presentation with a previous teammate, which means we go and we present ourselves in our marketing, et cetera, et cetera. And with that comes a tour of their unit. So this woman had been there. I think she was an original owner of this 1970s building. She had been the board president for like 20 years. She no longer was. And she was moving because she was elderly and just it was her time to go find, you know, different care. So we go through the whole process and then she takes us to her unit. And we look around and it's a unit of someone who has lived there for almost 50 years, like packed full in a hoarder type of sense, which I guess is not uncommon. And we're going through each room and there's stuff everywhere and blah, blah, blah. We get to her office and there's a desk. There's notepads all over the desk and a TV, like a old school TV, so huge, like a box frame. It's got the big butt in the back that's sticking out. It's like taped together. You can tell this thing's really old.
Did it have rabbit ears too?
I don't remember. But on the TV is a live stream of the building's lobby.
Why?
Do you think I know why? It was...
Did you ask?
No. It was a very uncomfortable situation.
Let me ask this question. How many units were in the building?
A lot. Like it was it's not a high rise, it was a mid rise, maybe 15 to 20 stories. Maybe not that many.
So, I mean, my brain is just doing a lot of things right now. So did she have her own hidden camera or is this like she tapped into the building security feed?
My assumption is because she was the building president at some point, the association president, she had tapped into the feed that was the security cameras of the lobby, which I also forgot to mention when we arrived and the front doorman called up, we overheard him being like, yeah, it's two women. They're here sitting down in the lobby, which makes me think she was like, oh, is it two ladies? Like she's sitting there, sat there and watched us walk in. And we left and we were just like, what the fuck? And that's it.
I wonder, I'm thinking of a perfectly good explanation here.
Trying to give her the benefit of the doubt.
I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt. I wonder if every unit has the ability to see that camera.
Lord, let's hope so.
Like, I don't know. I'm thinking like,
it's like cable TV.
Yeah, and every unit you go to like channel zero and it's that one camera. That's my thought and also my hope.
Same.
But also I kind of hope it's not just to make it even more fun. So what happened?
Nothing happened. That was it. We were just like shocked. We didn't really know what to do. I didn't know what to do. Other person didn't know what to do. We were like, do we say anything? Do we do anything? And then that's it.
Did you sell the unit?
No. Oh. She ended up going with a different agent, I'm assuming.
So it did sell.
I actually don't know. I never went back and checked. That's one where you're just like, maybe I don't want my hands in this one.
Just out of curiosity, is it ethical for you to look up the listing, see who sold it, and give them a call and just say, hey, I have a question?
Oh.
Like, can you do that? I mean, I know you can do that, but I would just be curious.
I have no idea. I mean, yeah, I guess I would have to go back and even look what building it was.
Kind of like, you know how on one of our previous episodes I gave Ayushi some homework?
Oh, yeah.
To check on the guy whose unit she cleaned.
Gotta call her.
Future business.
Yeah.
Hey, remember me? I cleaned your unit. You need to sell?
You need any help?
Exactly. Okay, so that was one of the truths.
Truths. Yes. The other one is I got a lead from an online source and went to meet her. And from the jump, it was bizarre. She was coming from the suburbs. Her brother or one of her family members was living in the unit with her furniture. And I'm in the lobby. I'm like, hey, I'm here. Let me know when you arrive. And she's like, oh, I'm just going to be like 10 to 15 minutes late. I had an emergency with my dog. And I'm like, oh no, I hope your dog's okay. And turns out her dog like was outside and she couldn't find it. Anyways, that was bizarre. Then she shows up. We go to the unit. She was an oversharer, to put it nicely. I learned so much about this woman.
Did you know?
I learned so much about this woman in like 45 minutes. I think I barely even talked about real estate, as I learned about her boyfriend, how I think they recently broke up, her brother who was living in the unit. I mean, the list goes on and on. She was trying to find a new job. And then in the midst of all of this, she was like, the reason I wanted to do this appointment today was because I have a dentist appointment after this in the Loop. I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, I don't remember what time it was, or I don't remember exactly the location. Do you mind if I just look it up? And I'm like, no, I don't mind. Do what you gotta do. So she's on her phone. She's checking her email. She's like, I can't find it. I know I got a confirmation. I can't find it anywhere. And she's like, I don't remember the name of my dentist. And I'm like, okay. She's like, I know exactly what building it was in. I know the address, but I don't remember the name. So I pull out my phone and I start Googling. And I Google the address. There's like 10 dentist offices in this one building in the Loop. I'm like, does this sound right? Does this sound right? And then she's calling each individual dentist.
Do I have an appointment here today?
Yes.
Aw.
And the poor thing, she's calling. After a few, she just starts bawling. And she's like, I don't know who it is. I can't find the information. And I'm like, don't worry. We're going to figure this out. And I don't think we figured it out. But for some reason, she was talking about how she got a great parking space. Oh, she was going to walk. She was just going to walk to the dentist because it was close enough. But it was like a terrible day outside. It was windy and cold. And I'm pretty sure I offered the ride. I don't think she asked because I wanted the listing. It's like, how about I give you a ride? So I gave her a ride to the dentist.
Jamie Book goes above and beyond for her clients.
I do.
Did she become a client?
She did not. We're still in touch.
Okay.
But
did she just not sell?
Yeah, she didn't sell. She ended up moving back into the unit herself.
Okay.
And the best part was, I don't know if it's the best part or the saddest part. She texted me later. And she was like, so it turns out my dentist appointment was not today. It's some other day.
Wow. Well, you know, you gained a client for life.
I think I did. I think when she's ready, she will call me.
Absolutely, for a ride to the dentist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? Listen, sometimes people just need someone to be there and be empathetic. And mm-hmm. I am very empathetic.
It's one of my weaknesses.
Oh, really?
I don't actually think it's a weakness, but
no,
I lack empathy in many situations.
Do you have an example?
Not one that doesn't make me look like a complete asshole.
Well, that's kind of what I was hoping for. I was hoping to just call you out.
Mm-mm. No, because I mean, in that situation, I would offer to take her, but I wouldn't move until she found the confirmation. Like, sorry.
Oh.
No.
So if she was like, I'm just going to walk, I'm just going to go and find out.
Have a nice day. Call me later.
Even though you don't have to wait for her, like, she's going anyway. It's on your way home.
No, I mean, if she wanted a ride to that building, I would offer a ride to the building.
That's exactly what I did.
That's fine.
And I gave her a ride to the building.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't stay there or walk her up or, like, try and help her find the dentist.
You kind of helped her try to find the dentist.
I did. I made calls for her on her behalf.
Mm-mm. You're an adult.
Yeah. Also, she's crying and needing help. I just wanted to help.
Tears don't do it for me.
Yeah, you're a cold-hearted bitch. Damn.
Well, like, we're grown-ups here. Let's not cry. Let's figure out a solution. Let's work the problem.
I tried to find a solution.
And she cried.
And she cried. Poor thing.
Poor thing. That's okay. Again, client for life. You go above and beyond.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm ready.
Oh, hell yeah.
With my two truths and a lie.
Let's hear them.
In no particular order.
Okay.
These are all potential actual people. Well, I just wanted to throw that out there. I have had someone show up to a closing with cash.
Okay.
I have had someone want to bring me jewelry and antiques and gold and silver to show me that they had sufficient funds to close.
Proof of funds.
Yes. And I had one woman that put on her application that her down payment was coming from the Lord.
Oh my God. Okay, this is a difficult one. Her down payment's coming from the Lord. That's like a little DeLulu. These are all DeLulu people. I kind of believe that someone tried to... Okay, hold on. What was the second one again?
The second one was someone tried to bring me gold, silver, and antiques to show that they had funds.
As a down payment?
Correct.
I kind of believe that's true. Fucking wild. And then the first one again?
That I had someone show up to a closing with cash.
I don't believe that one because you're too good of a lender to let someone do that.
First of all, thank you. but as we have heard, I do tell people what to do and what not to do. And sometimes they still do it. But in this situation, you are correct.
Yes!
I thankfully, knock on wood, I have yet to have someone try to show up to a closing with cash. I've had many people ask, especially if the cash to close isn't, you know, 5+ figures.
Yeah.
But no one's done it, thankfully. But 2018, so when I first started, there was a woman that wanted to bring me gold, silver, antiques, because on her application, she stated, you know, X number of thousands of dollars, but didn't input where they're coming from. Didn't say checking, savings, retirement.
Was she planning on selling them?
No.
So she wanted to give these to the seller?
Aww. Like this was her down payment. She didn't know who she was going to give it to, but she, here's my down payment. And it should be worth X number of dollars. And I had to...
Get to break her heart.
I did. I tried to use empathy.
Asshole.
I was very nice. I wasn't mean, but I said, well, you're going to have to liquidate these.
Yes. That's a fair response.
See? And she said, why? And I said, well, because all of your money has to be in liquid money to be able to use it for your purchase.
Did she ask how to make money liquid because it's solid?
She did not.
Darn.
So I told her, you know, once you've sold everything and have proof that you've sold it, show me where the money came from. Don't just show up with $50,000 in cash, because, I mean, I don't know where the gold and silver and antiques came from. They, you know, so I'm like, I just need to show where they came from and we can use the funds. Nothing ever came of that. I'm sure she held on to her paraphernalia.
Well, I guess it's maybe one thing in her mind to like trade it for a house and another thing to actually like put it online and sell it. You know, like, I mean, that's a very different interaction.
You don't necessarily have to take that stuff, you know, to sell it online. I get it. Some people can't. Sure. She was older, so I get it. Some people aren't very computer savvy and want to do it online. Take it to a pawn shop. You can take it to
there's plenty of places.
Antique dealers or purchasers.
But what I'm saying is like the trade for cash is like different than a trade for something else valuable, which obviously cash is valuable. But I could see in her mind being like, oh, I'm trading this
for
a house versus, oh, I'm going to sell my family's valuables to then gain a house.
Right.
And like that difference being a little bit more difficult to like stomach.
But we're also assuming these are family heirloom, Jamie Book?
I would assume so.
Well, I mean, don't assume. I assume the benefit of the doubt with your lady that had the closed circuit TV camera of the lobby. Everybody had it. This is why we source funds, Jamie Book. We have no idea where they came from.
You think she's stealing them?
Stealing them. Maybe she murdered somebody. I don't know.
Okay, but here's my question. Does it matter if she stole it? Like, do you have to have proof of where the artifact came from? Or do you just need proof that she sold it and here's your certificate or bill of sale?
That's actually a very good question. Now that I think about it, I have no idea. You know what? We would probably, I mean, to the letter of the law, I suppose, then I would need proof of acquisition, like a paper trail of everything. Because what we look at, here's your real estate wisdom for the day. We're going to look at a 2-month history of your bank statements.
Sure.
So if in one of her last 2 months of statements, I see a $50,000 deposit from Pawn Stars, I'm going to say, okay, where...
Sounds a lot like something else, Terrence.
You clearly have never seen the show.
Uh-huh. I've seen the Antique Roadshow.
That doesn't sound nearly as interesting as Pawn Stars. Look it up. You'll love it.
I'm just imagining someone scrolling and reading wrong and then being like, what the fuck is this?
Yep. So make sure that when we transcribe this, the spelling is correct.
Yeah, I will.
But yeah, if I see that deposit, I'm going to say, okay, well, where did this come from? Because it's a large deposit, greater than her monthly income, okay, et cetera.
But say I steal a car.
Okay.
3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And then I sell it, mm-hmm, for $20,000.
Okay.
And I have a bill of sale. Are you going to ask me where I acquired this car? Or are you just going to say, oh, you got a car here and just give me the bill of sale, shows where you got this funds, and move on with your life?
So let me ask this question. You stole the car 3 months ago.
Maybe it doesn't matter when I stole the car, but...
Actually, it does.
Oh, okay.
Because if you stole the car 3 months ago, sold it, deposited the money, I look at bank statements for the last 2 months...
There's the loophole.
There's your loophole.
Oh, God.
But
don't nobody come after us saying, exactly, we said it was okay to steal a car from
Town. Exactly. But if it was within the last 2 months, I would probably ask for, well, the bill of sale. I'm going to ask for the bill of sale because I'm going to make sure that it matches up with the deposit. And, I mean, if it's not your name on the bill of sale, that's a problem.
Well, obviously, I would fake the bill of sale, and it would be my name on it.
Then that's fine. You're the one committing fraud, not me. Okay. I got the documentation I needed.
Perfect. All right. I got my question answered.
This is the real tea. How to commit fraud,
oh,
clearly.
Oh, my God. Don't say that. We do not condone this.
And then my other truth.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. I was so excited about this story.
Really? See, I would have thought that the other one would have been more exciting.
They're both quite exciting, if I'm being honest.
This woman I actually met in person.
Ooh.
I think this was also 2018, 2019. Yeah. So she filled out an application. And in the same section as, you know, the other person with the gold, silver, and antiques, there was down payment and there was nothing. There was nothing there. So as I'm going through the application with her, I, you know.
Oh, it's the same person?
No, this is a different person.
Oh.
Sorry. I'm saying the same section.
Oh, got it.
Assets. But as I'm going through the application on the phone with her, or excuse me, sitting with her, I'm like, okay, you know, we have your income information. She wasn't working. She was receiving government funds. I'm like, okay, we have your income information. We know, you know, a general idea of what you can spend monthly on a home, what's your source of funds? And she just looked at me and said, the Lord.
Oh, she said it in person.
Yes.
Oh.
And I said, okay. And in my brain, I'm
trying to be empathetic.
I'm trying my best. And I just said, when are those funds going to be deposited?
That's going to be the name of this episode. Terrence Tries Empathy.
And she said, you know, when the time is right, he will provide. And I said, amen.
How are you going to liquefy that?
You're going to hell, not me. So I said, Okay. When those become available, just let me know. But if you're looking to purchase a house at X price, he'll need to provide about this much.
Wow. I'm impressed with your response.
I was impressed very with mature. My response.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So once the meeting concluded, she never answered my calls again.
Oh, really?
No, not once.
Hmm.
No idea why. I was very, very nice.
The Lord did not provide.
Apparently. Or some other stuff happened. I don't know. I'm really kind of disappointed now that I think about it.
I would have liked to see that miracle. Maybe not a miracle, but that would be a great story too.
I mean, yeah. Maybe, you know, being mature adult Tarrant here, maybe she was going to get a gift from the church.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Immature Terrence was wondering if she just wanted money to just go right on the table and pop up.
Well, I feel like when somebody says the Lord will provide, it doesn't just mean it pops into your bank account.
Not gonna lie, sometimes I think that.
I'm sorry. Dig deeper. Explain.
Okay. Whenever I always think back to a movie that I watched a lot as a kid, The Ten Commandments.
I've never seen it.
Comes on a lot on TV around Easter.
Okay.
So it's coming up. Starring
when is Easter this year?
Coming up.
Great.
Yeah. I want to say 60s. Anyway, this is the story of, you know, Passover and parting the Red Sea and all that fun stuff. And I always just think of miracles. Things are just going, popping up, turning water to wine.
And into your bank account.
Right into the bank account.
What would you do one day if you woke up and there was just $1 million in your bank account?
Not tell anybody.
You don't know where it came from. You just, it was there.
The Lord provided. I'm telling nobody. You will never know.
There's a note on the transfer that said, from the Lord.
You would never know until you saw me riding down the street on a llama or something.
That's what you would do with $1 million. You would just trade your car in for a llama.
Get myself a llama. Start galloping. Do they galloping down the street? And you'll just say, you know what, Terrence, did you come into some money recently? I'll be like,
yeah.
No, just wanted a llama.
Could a llama even support you?
Not going to lie. No idea.
No.
I just, aren't they about the size of camels?
No.
Are they not? Am I thinking about the right animal?
I don't think so.
Wait, and they spit.
Yeah.
Aren't those llamas?
Yes.
They're the size of camels.
They're not.
Hmm.
Let's
look this up here, because I am...
I'm crying.
Almost positive that...
No.
A llama is as big as a camel.
A camel's huge. A camel's, like, bigger than a horse.
Yeah, this fella. Okay, llama next to camel. I don't feel like that's an accurate representation.
Yeah, that is an accurate representation. That's why I'm laughing so hard, I'm crying.
Hmm. I feel like that's a baby llama.
No, that's a llama.
Okay, well.
If anybody does Photoshop, can you please Photoshop Terrence on a llama for me?
Well, you know what? I was almost certain that the... Okay. Point is, you'd never know that I had $1 million.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If Terrence ever says I'm buying a llama, we know he's come into some money.
Won the lottery. Or the Lord provided. Mm-hmm. I really want to know what happened to that woman.
All right. What else you got?
Oh, I want to tell you about my happenings. Don't get too excited. This is another one of those, you tell people not to do it.
And they do it.
And they do it type stories.
Mm-hmm.
This one had a happy ending. It's fine. Fortunately, timing all worked out. But on the list of do not do's while you're buying a house, unless you tell your lender first, is do not change jobs.
Oh, yes. Fair.
So before closing, we do a final verification of employment where we call the employer. Hey, is so-and-so still here? Is employment going to continue?
How soon do you call them?
That one's done within 2 weeks closing.
Okay.
So are they still here? Is employment going to continue? If they say no, it's a little bit of a problem.
Understandably so.
Fortunately, we didn't get that far. We were about a day before we were going to actually make the call. We got updated pay stubs. One of the updated pay stubs looked a little bit different. Like, very different. Like, from a different employer. And so my processor called me and said, do you you know about this? I'm like, know about what? She emailed me over a pay stub. I'm like, that's not where she works. So I made a quick phone call. I paced a little bit first, then I made a phone call. I said, hey, thank you for sending over your most recent pay stub.
What the fuck?
Why does it look different than the last pay stub? Oh, I got a new job. I said, congratulations.
Terrence tries empathy.
I have so many questions for you. When, why, and how are you paid? Because if how you're paid changes, we may not be buying a house right now.
Mm.
And so she said, last week, I forgot to tell you. I said, you know what? It's okay. But I'm paid salary and I'm making more money now. I'm like,
yeah.
The Lord provides. So it all worked out. Just a couple of extra steps, verification of employment through a new employer, and we closed.
Okay. So moral of the story is you can change jobs as long as you get paid the same and more money.
Definitely more money, but how you're paid makes a difference. If you are a salaried employee and your pay structure changes to a half salary, half bonus commission.
Right.
No.
Yep.
Because then I'm using the salary because I don't have a history of the variable income.
Yep. Okay. There's your real estate wisdom.
Real estate wisdom. Thankfully, in this situation, it was salary to salary.
And just so people are aware, in order for bonuses to count, you have to have a 2-year history?
2 years.
Okay.
Same thing with commission.
Yep.
The variable incomes is where we need 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Say that again for the people in the back.
I'm looking at you. 2 years. Don't do it. Don't leave your salaried job to start a business until after you close. That's all I got. It's my wisdom for the day.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Yeah, what about me?
What do you got going on?
I'm working on a flip up in Rogers Park right now.
Yeah? How many beds and baths?
It's 3 bed, 2 baths. It's huge. It's got to be over 1,500 square feet, if not close to 2,000.
Oh.
It has this beautiful living room with curved windows. It was built in the 1920s by a woman architect.
What?
We bought it on auction, which is a first for me.
Nice.
But we bought it with all of the basically personal belongings inside as well.
So any treasures in there?
Definitely a lot of vintage finds. So this person had been in there since, I think, the 70s, if I'm...
Ooh.
Wait, maybe that's not true. But basically, yeah, a lot of like vintage vases and glassware. But the thing with foreclosures and personal property is I cannot sell any of it. It all has to be donated or trashed.
I have a question.
Yes.
How will they know?
That's a great question, Terrence. Ethically, I need to be responsible.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do not want to jeopardize my business or my business partner in any way.
Okay.
By putting something online and then one of their family members says, hey, that's...
That's true.
My grandma's, oh, I'm actually entitled to this property, or I'm entitled to I don't know what.
Okay.
So it's definitely more complicated and more complex, and I don't fully understand everything about it, but when you buy a foreclosed property at auction, there is a difference between the physical property and the unit, the real estate left behind, and then the personal belongings left behind, and the way you have to deal with each of those separately.
So the personal stuff that they've left behind, you have to donate it.
Give it away, donate it. I can't keep it or sell it.
Okay. Give it away, donate, throw it away.
Throw it away. Yep.
Okay. You just personally can't sell it.
Correct.
Okay. So off the record, anything good that I may want?
It's all gone.
Oh.
So I put everything on Facebook Marketplace for free. I said, come pick it up Sunday from this time to this time. First come, first serve. I had a line.
Nice.
Waiting. People were there an hour early, and I cannot believe the things people were taking.
Hmm.
And people were there for all different reasons. Like, there was like teenagers there furnishing their first apartment. Aww. There were older people who like clearly had some sort of business that they would resell all of this. Like, it was wild. People who just collected vintage antiques and the vases, and yeah, it was like a madhouse.
Somebody definitely walked out of there with a vase worth $2.3 million.
No, I definitely checked all of them.
You're like, ethically, fuck this. I'm keeping this one.
Ethically. I'm not selling it, but I need to know how much this is worth.
This one could cover my legal fees and my salary for years. So, yeah, we're good.
No, the most expensive ones were like $500.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
But most of them were like $20 to $80, which isn't nothing.
How did you find this out?
Reverse Google search.
Oh, like the image?
Mm-hmm. I took a picture, reverse Google searched it, looked up the if it had a name on the bottom or something. Looked it up.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Somebody walked out of there with a couple things worth $500.
Yeah.
Good for them.
I know.
Artwork?
I don't think there was any artwork to note. There was this one photo of this little boy who's probably 5 years old.
I'm afraid already.
Yeah, it was huge. Probably like 18 by 12. No, bigger than that. 18 by 24.
The frame. Okay.
And the picture was so old and aged that this kid's skin had turned gray and his eyes had turned red. It was a fucking demon child. And his hands looked way too big for being a five-year-old. Like, the more I looked at this, I was like, this is so weird.
You stared at it.
Well, because you look at it and you're like, oh, it's just a kid. And then you look at it a little more and you're like, wow, that kid has really big hands. And then you're like, oh my God, this photo is so aged. His skin is graying. And then you're like, and his eyeballs are red.
Jamie Book, if there's so one creepy thing that I've learned in all my years, kids are the devil.
Someone took that picture, let me tell you.
Wait, was it a photograph or a painting?
It was a photograph.
That kid is in that picture.
Maybe.
No, he's in there. That's him. Let me ask. When did someone take this?
Yes. For the frame. But someone took that picture.
You should check on them.
Well, one person took it off the wall and then I like mentioned it. I was like, did you notice how creepy this kid is? And they're like, we just like the frame. I mean, people were taking umbrellas. They took all the silverware, glassware, golf clubs, which golf I understand. People were taking everything.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm stuck on this kid, though.
Yeah, I wish I had taken a picture of the kid.
No, you don't.
I mean, just to show you.
No, it's I wouldn't. No, creepy. No, because then he would have ended up in your phone. No.
He's probably in a video that I have of the unit.
I don't want to see it.
So if anyone's listening and interested in buying a property in Rogers Park, we're about to have a freshly renovated 3-bed, 2-bath, separate dining, kitchen, huge, beautiful vintage building.
And it may or may not be possessed by a 5-year-old with red eyes and big hands.
I don't think so.
Was he still in the picture when they took the frame?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
He was in the picture. I've also been in there many times alone, and there's no vibes.
Because the frame's gone.
All good vibes.
Okay.
So it should be on the market by April.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Just in time for in the thick of the spring market, which starts unofficially now. Monday.
Is it Super Bowl this weekend?
Oh my goodness, Jamie Buck. Yes, it is.
Who do you think's going to win?
My money's on the Chiefs.
Okay.
24-17 final score.
Oh, okay. We're going to hold you to that.
Done.
Don't hate me for this question. Who does Travis Kelce play for?
Mr. Swift plays for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Yeah, it's Sunday. So who are you rooting for?
I hadn't even thought about it until this moment. I feel like Travis Kelce, Chiefs, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. Who's the other person playing?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, team. Not.
There's multiple people. The San Francisco 49ers.
All right. Is there anything else real estate we need to do?
The spring market starts Monday. I know we just said that, but that's very important. So how do you get offers accepted in multiple offer situations?
Okay, we were just talking about this today. So we say love letters are out.
Love letters meaning letters from the buyer to the seller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But anything creative, so anything that's going to make your offer stand out. I had a team member recently who had multiple offers, two offers. They were like essentially the same, she said, that the sellers didn't know how to make a decision. They put in the same percent down, same price, like same terms. And the winning party offered a gift card to the sellers for a restaurant. I don't know about the legality of that, but it worked.
Well, I mean, technically speaking, then their offer was a little bit higher than the other person's.
Exactly. You know, there's a lot of discussion right now about like commissions and real estate. So offering to pay one side's commission, I think, is going to become a thing. Offering to put earnest money hard. So your first $1,000, saying it's going hard, whether we close or not, you get to keep that.
Oh, my.
I'm giving away my trade secrets here.
Yeah.
What else? I mean, honestly, you have to button up all of your terms. So it's not just about price. It's about price. It's about closing. It's about tax proration. It's about earnest money. It's about your down payment. And if a seller has five offers, they're going to look at every single one of these individually and decide who is the most qualified and who they think is going to get to that closing table. Because you could have the highest price, but if you're putting 5% down and $2,000 in earnest money and your tax preparation, you're asking for 110%, and you're up against an offer who's maybe a lower purchase price, but they have 10% or 15% down and they're giving you 5% in earnest money, that's definitely a safer option for a seller.
Interesting. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
On all of that?
Between those two offers, yes. Why?
Okay, so the person...
The reason I ask is I ask multiple agents this question because I personally would like to know why, because to me it makes no difference.
Yeah. Well, so the thing, I mean, everyone says cash is king. These days, it's, you know, people are well qualified for mortgages, so the likelihood of them closing are very high. Mm-hmm. So when you're comparing cash to mortgage, I think it depends on the situation of whether one's better or another one is. But at the end of the day, when you're talking who's going to get to the closing table and maybe who's more invested. So earnest money is one of those things where, like, we know you could get it back if something falls through, right? 99% of the time, it's not on the line. But if you're willing to give more up front, it just shows a little bit more commitment.
I like that. Okay.
I've had plenty of sellers who, looking at two offers and one has less earnest money and they're otherwise they're very similar, they're saying, oh, well, this person's putting a significant more down in earnest money, so it seems like they're a little bit more motivated and willing to put more skin in the game.
Okay.
Tax proration. When you're in a multiple offer situation and you're asking the sellers to pay 110% of the tax, the latest tax bill, which was probably 2 years ago, you don't know what those taxes are. That's a disadvantage to someone who's going to say to be determined in attorney review, because that's going to be fair, mm-hmm. at least, or to someone who's saying 100%, because that buyer is now offering to pay any increase in taxes mm-hmm. on the seller's behalf. So it's all these little details that are going to help you in a multiple offer situation.
You made mouth noises. Someone throw it out there. Yeah. Oh, I've heard them a few times. I just want you to know. It's gross. It's not gross, Jamie, but it's a natural bodily function.
It's kind of gross. But anyways, yeah.
Well, thank you for that information.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. What else you got?
I think that's it. I gotta go.
What time is it?
Yeah, I do gotta go.
Holy shit.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to another episode of Realty Chicago. If you are interested in sharing a story or finding us on social media or just connecting in some way, you can find us on Instagram at Realty Chicago. You can also email us at realtychicago@gmail.com. We do have a TikTok, the Realty Chicago podcast, and I've got a Google form if you want to fill it out. That's going to be linked on our Instagram.
For our anonymous stories?
Yes. So find us and let's connect.
Absolutely. Signing out.
And we're done. Okay, bye.
Bye.